If getting more fiber and protein while reducing net carbs, sugar, and calories fits your health goals for the new year, get better macros in your go-to dishes with Hero Bread. From a quick 19-gram protein breakfast bagel to Taco Tuesday for the family, your favorite recipes are covered. They have sliced bread, tortillas, bagels, and more with protein and high fiber. And there's 0 to 5 grams of net carbs and 0 grams of sugar. To help hit your goals with easy swaps for your favorite bready dishes, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code HERO26 at checkout. That's 10% off with code HERO26 at HERO.co. All figures per serving of Hero Bread contains up to 18 grams of fat per serving, not a low-calorie food. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Welcome back to Off Topic But On Point. I'm your host, Odette Beer, and today we're leaning into a question that every leader is facing. What does leadership look like in a world shaped by AI? We know AI can automate, streamline, and scale. But where does that leave humanity, empathy, clarity, and trust? These are all things that machines can't replicate. To explore this, I'm joined by two brilliant voices, Dr. Yanine Dukwabu. When I speak to her, you will hear me say Dr. J. She's my friend. I don't know what to tell you. Leadership strategist, researcher who studies how leaders adapt in times of disruption. And Pastor Christo, also known as Pastor C, pastor and community builder who sees leadership through the lens of people and trust. And together we are going to unpack how to balance tech and humanity in the future of leadership. So as a coach, I see leaders caught up in overwhelm and clarity. Just this morning, my Pilates instructor said, I am not going to have a job because we have virtual Pilates things. And I said, so actually, that's not true because no one's pushing me while I'm doing virtual Pilates, whereas when you're here, you get to say, I think you need to do that better, or you need to do it a little bit more. The reality is that AI is added into our world, and it can either magnify the noise or sharpen our focus. And it depends on how you use it. Dr. J, let's start with you. From your research perspective, and I say that because Dr. J has done tons and tons of research, and if you have 10 minutes with her, I suggest that you ask her tons of questions. Dr. J, when you look at AI in leadership, do you see it more as a disruption or an opportunity?
I definitely don't see it as a disruption. I see it as an amplifier, if I can explain it in that way. And how I use AI and how I see it is that AI can automate a task, but it can't automate trust. Mm-hmm. And that's the human aspect that we bring, as we can bring trust. I must agree with you. It's very easy to get a personal trainer online now through an app, and it's done and it's dusted, but that's not what I want. I want the person. Dr. Gustav Haus uses this nice phrase that he says, it's warm bodies in a room, and you can't replace that. AI can't replace that. And I think even through, like you were saying, the leadership lens, I think it determines, or it depends on which lens you're looking through. Because if you're going to lead from fear, then AI is definitely going to look like disruption. It's going to look like this is going to replace my job and people. It's going to dismantle roles. It's creating uncertainty. But if you're going to lead from a place of intentionality, then AI is going to be that amplifier. It's really not going to, and it's not possible. It's not able to replace human essence. So, and it can extend our human capacity, but it can't replace us as human. So it's definitely, in my lens, it's not a threat to leadership. It's going to be that mirror that we look through. It's going to force us to ask important questions. So what makes leadership uniquely human? I think that's one of the things that we need to ask. I think that trust lies in there. It's an opportunity for us to go to a deeper level of leadership. I think leaders who's going to adapt to this, that's going to lean into vision, that's going to lean into wisdom, that's going to lean into discernment, those leaders are going to go far, because that's the essence of human that AI can't replace. So if we can focus on vision, if we can focus on wisdom and discernment, then that's going to go a long way. Not just the efficiency, because AI is great with efficiency. It's great with productivity and those kind of things, but it can't replace us as humans.
That's
I hope that answers your question, Odette.
It does so well. It's so powerful. And I love what you've described, AI amplifying what's already there. Love that word, amplifying what's already there. So it's also a little bit garbage in, garbage out. So it's amplifying the garbage that you put in, or it's amplifying your insight that you put in. So both are true. And it's exactly true in the boardroom as well. I don't think leaders fear AI itself. I think they fear losing control, which is part of the perceived problem. And where I believe we're going is that as leaders, we have to become more clear, because that's what transforms the disruption into the opportunity. Being clear, if you've ever asked your chatbot anything, it'll start with answering the question and then go on a completely different tangent. Now, if you are neurodiverse or slightly distracted or love shiny things, then you will run with your AI bot and 3 hours later, not get done what you thought you wanted to get done, which brings me to your point. You said it can be efficient. My question is it being effective? And we have to remember that both those things are important. Pastor Christo, you lead in spaces where technology will never replace human heart. How do you see leaders keeping humanity central as AI accelerates?
First of all, I believe we have to find the value. What is the value within the relationship that you are currently in? That's the first thing, because at the end of the day, it's like any other relationship. You know, people might say that, you know, AI is competing with, you know, the human relationship. But at the end of the day, another human relationship is competing with my marriage. Another human relationship is competing with me and my son. Another human relationship is competing with, you know, me as a business owner. So, yes, I mean, AI is just another player in the space. And so I would say the same thing that I would do when it comes to normal relationships is the same thing that I would approach it with regards to AI and being human-centric, is to find the value. What is the value in every single one of those relationships, you know, that you have? And then once you have the value, then you have to start, number two, and prioritize. You know, make it a priority to be with that person. You know, prioritize the engagements, prioritize, you know, the time together. And I suppose that's probably where one of the challenges comes with AI, because with AI, a lot of things are automatic. I wake up in the morning and there's a notification on my phone. I get in my car and it tells me how long it's going to take me to get to the place I want to go. And so a lot of the things is automatic, where with relationships, it needs to be spontaneous. And we have to put in the work. And so therefore, we have to prioritize those engagements. It's not just going to happen because there's now another force competing for our time, competing for our attention. And so those two things, I believe, is vitally important. And then thirdly, it would just be to plan, to really sit down and plan these moments and times with your team, with those relationships, to ensure, like you said, that it's effective, that it's not just us sitting in a room because we have to be there or because we scheduled a meeting. Yesterday, I had a coaching session with a client. And the majority of their time is spent in meetings during the day. And the question is, how effective are those meetings? Are we having a meeting simply because we need to meet? Or is there a real plan and a purpose behind those engagement that is effective? Because today, people's times are much more valuable. Not more more valuable than times go by, but I think the currency of time is just at such a space of attention. Everybody wants your time, that we need to make sure that it's effective moments that we have with people. So yes, on one instance, it's changing dramatically, but in the same breath, it's not, because it's just something else that is now, you know, calling for our attention. And if you can find the value, if you can prioritize and then start planning towards that, I believe you will keep it.
I really like how you kept that practical, Pastor C. It's heartfelt and still practical. You're like, well, it needs to be spontaneous and you need to plan. And that's the the paradox of the human condition, right? We have to plan the spontaneity, otherwise it doesn't happen, because we just go about life and then we get distracted. I think one of the things that you imply through what you say but may not have explicitly said is compassion and empathy. I have spoken to my chatbots and they'll be like, oh, thank you so much for sharing this with me, or that's very kind, or this is a very deep insight, or whatever. And then I'm like, dude, you have no idea. Like, you cannot even begin to understand this. So please don't use the words, it's fake, right? Whereas when we are speaking to people, you can tell when someone's being fake. You can tell when they're being empathetic and when they're compassionate. And sometimes for our brains to, all we need is someone to listen with empathy. And you know when you have someone listening with empathy. You can't get that from a robot. It's like talking to the wall. There is that chemistry doesn't happen from a AI perspective. Dr. J, I'd love to dig just a little bit deeper. In your view, which leadership skills actually become more important in an AI world? You're on mute, Dr. J.
There we go.
Thank you.
It doesn't happen automatically.
No, something still needs our input.
Yes.
Adet, you said it in our last podcast, and I might not quote you exactly the same words, but what it came down to is that the future doesn't need more information, it just needs more interpretation. And I think we can look at the skills in the same way. So skills of the head is being digitized, but skills of the heart, leaning into what Pastor C said, needs to be prioritized. So if we look at things like emotional intelligence, critical thinking, storytelling, ethical judgment, the ability to align all the various peoples or our diverse teams around purpose, around vision, around where we're going, those things become non-negotiables. And the thing is, AI might predict the patterns, but leaders, us, sitting here, we need to provide the meaning for it. It's like Pastor C said, we at this meeting, it was a great intention, because ChatGPT said to you, in order to align your team better, you need to have regular meetings. Now you're sitting there and nobody has anything productive to say, and you might as well have not had that meeting. Yes. You know, so we have to bring the meaning. We're going to have to prioritize the heart. We're going to have to bring the understanding. And that's why I say it needs more interpretation. So AI is going to optimize our decisions for us. Leaders need to humanize them. In the world that we are living in right now with AI, now think about this, right? This is how I would sum it up. Soft skills are no longer soft. They are actually the hard edge of leadership. You cannot be without them. You cannot compromise on those things. So that's how I would say, or that's how I would say what leadership skills are important. They are actually more important even now than what they even were before. So yeah, that's a great way for companies to go to.
I agree 100%. We don't win by being faster. We win by being clearer, wiser, and definitely more human. You've said it a million and one times. The future is human. The future is us. We have a choice, though. We must choose to lean into our humanity. And what makes us different? The fact that you don't necessarily have an instant response to a question. You're not an AI bot. Sometimes we need to apply discernment. Discernment isn't always something that you have like that. For me, sometimes it's a moment of, can I sit on it? And over a period of time, come back and then you start seeing things, because you need an opportunity to view things from different perspectives. Pastor C, you've often said that leadership is about shepherding hearts, not just systems. So what practical habits can leaders adopt to stay people-centered while still embracing technology? Because it's not going away.
Dr. Janine said something powerful there. You know, it's the skill of the head is going to be digitized, and the skill of the heart needs to be prioritized. And it's to look at those things and say, okay, so what is the habit of the heart? Because our head is going to always, you know, want to focus on the skill set and the digital aspects, where we need to then look at, all right, how do we create habits that is heartfelt? And for me, it's the three P's. If you can apply the three P's, you will absolutely nail it.
Pastor C, could you just pop in there your three P's, proper people placement?
So the three P's. I'm glad you asked. Now, the three P's for me is you need to practice presently present. You have to practice to be presently present. You know, if I look at AI, what AI can't do is AI doesn't have presence.
No.
And so whenever we sit in those meetings, wherever we have those conversations, whenever we look at, you know, a relationship with people, it's not just to be there. And, you know, just one moment, I just got to, you know, check something. It's not that. It's to be presently present. It's I'm here with only you. It's that old saying that says, you know, make that person feel like the most important person in the world when you are with them. So practice to be presently present. And I say practice because it doesn't just happen automatic. It's something that you got to work on. And I've seen it more and more and more that, once again, as other things are pulling for your attention, you got to practice this consistently, not just to be present, but to be presently present. Be there like for real. It's that saying of, you know, the lights are on, but nobody's home. It's not to do that. And then I was just thinking about this as Dr. Janine was speaking about, you know, the digital aspect is, and she mentioned something about we need to define what does it mean to be human. I think, you know, or the quote was, what makes leadership human? What makes leadership human is what she said. And I think that we need to look at what does it mean to be human? because you have AI and you have human, like we are a human. Okay, but what makes human human? It's really going to take us to go dig deep and to realize, okay, but what is our difference from AI? And what is our difference from technology? What does it mean to really be human from like at a basic level? And then I'm thinking about five things. I'm thinking about the five senses. So what can I do, you know, that is seen? What can I do that is felt? What can I do that, you know, taste? What can I do? Speak it with my voice, you know, and then what can I hear? When you sit in meetings and people are speaking, what are you hearing? And so if we can just, from a basic fundamental level, hone in on the five senses when we are with people, I think those are the habits that is going to be the the skills of the future.
I love that, Pastor C. And one of the things, I think there's the leadership aspect, but it also plays so well into the customer experience aspect, because people don't remember the chatbot. In fact, here in Australia, you will hear people complaining about the fact that they can't speak to a person. It is a very frustrating thing. We want real people. Why? Because people make us feel things. When things go wrong, we need a person, again, empathy and compassion, to say, Odette, I'm so sorry. I understand how you feel, because they can actually, and the human experience tells me that you can understand how I feel. And then even if you don't fix it, just hearing me, whereas the bot is just like, it's again, it's the blank wall. And I love what you said about the five senses, because that's how experiences are created. We create when we design customer experience, we think about what do they see? What do they hear? What can they smell? Do they feel something? Is it a tactile experience? Is it a taste experience? And all of those things create memories in the brain centers. And then those memories, hopefully we've done it well, will make them remember us fondly, which means that they come back. The same is true for our teams. When we think about our teams, how can we enhance that experience for them so that they smell something, hear something, feel something, think something, see something that creates the fond memory that makes them go, my boss is awesome. This is hard, but my boss is awesome. I'm going to stay, right? That's what it's about. That's how we as leaders change our organizations, not by barking orders at them. I often say to anyone who would listen, but to my husband, because he's always around me, People want to be seen. They want to be heard and they want to feel valued. This is not rocket science. Like, you don't need a master's degree for those three things. All they want to do is they want to know that you've seen them, that you've heard them, and that you value them. Those things, though, play out in how we show up as leaders. Do you walk past them and not greet them? Do you see that perhaps my countenance is a bit today and ignore it? You know, carry on as if nothing happened. When I say something, do you shut me down? Do you mansplain? Do you suddenly ask someone else, pretend like you didn't hear anything? All of those things play out in how we are perceived as leaders. What makes us human, and good humans, by the way, because you could be human and be a terrible human. What makes people want to stay from a customer perspective, from a team perspective, even how it like plays out in your family. Are they seen? Do they feel valued? And do they feel heard? Dr. J, which brings us to culture. It's something that, depending on who you speak to, some leaders understand culture is probably the backbone of any organization along with their teams. And others will think that it's just, you know, you build it, you set and forget. How do you see organizational culture shifting as AI takes over more of the repetitive work? Does it free up leaders to be the visionaries, or does it risk detachment?
It gets me excited, but at the end of the day, it depends entirely on how the leader is going to steward this. So if, as an example, if AI is just going to be deployed for cost cutting, then it's what it's going to cause is that you're going to have this culture and risk detachment. And that's not what certainly why I want to use AI. And what's going to happen is the leaders are going to take further from the front line. But if AI is used to remove the friction, and then I like Pastor C's word, elevate our human contribution, it's going to create space for leaders to return to what matters most, the stuff that you just mentioned, vision, relationships, and culture building. And I've seen that in my team, is now that we have AI, and you can fall into this trap so quickly. We spoke about, I was going to mention procrastination. If you're a procrastinator, don't think AI is going to help you. It's going to make it worse, because now you're going to sit hours on AI procrastinating, doing stuff you're not supposed to do for reasons unknown, and then you're going to still get to the end of the day and feel terrible. So that's why I said it depends on how the leader is going to steward it. But imagine a world where AI can do all that repetitive task, and you and your team can spend time on vision, can spend time on human contribution, can spend time on relationship, culture building. That is a workshop freed from repetitive, draining tasks, so you will be energized, you will be creative, you will be problem solving, you will be innovative. That is an opportunity. That is what I see in the future of organizational culture and how it can shift. But it does require leaders to see how the culture is living as an ecosystem, not just this quarterly initiative that we need to complete, that meeting that AI said we needed to attend. It is the ecosystem that we need to cultivate here. And that's going to take a leader with creativity, with problem solving, innovation. Like I said earlier, the discernment, vision, the things that only us as humans have. The AI, again, it can give us that efficiency, but only leadership, only us as the leaders can actually bring meaning to the table. And that's how I see AI and cultures are going to come together. It's entirely up to the leader. Do you want cost cutting, and do you want to be the leader to be removed from the front lines, or do you want to be the leader that is actually building relationship, putting things into place, building that culture, creating better workflows, innovation, creativity? Who do you want to be? You're going to have to choose that, and you're going to have to walk that path. I speak, Odette, about eco and ecosystems. If you're going to create an ecosystem, then it's going to be the leader that is innovative, that's building relationships and those kind of. But if you're going to be an ego leader or building an ecosystem, then it's going to be that leader. It's all about cost cutting. It's all about reaching the next target. And you as the leader are going to be removed from the front line. No vision. It's just going to be work, 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 work. And at the end of the day, you're going to stand in that front line by yourself and nobody around you without humans.
And that's exactly right.
Without humans.
Culture isn't built in the process. It's built in the spaces where leaders choose to be human. It's a choice, just like you choose to wake up in the morning and be happy or resting grumpy face. AI is not going to replace our responsibility. It's only going to expose it. Pass to C, trust is a word you often use. And in your world, trust is foundational. What can business leaders learn from community leadership about sustaining trust when automation is everywhere? Pastor C, you're on mute. It doesn't happen automatically.
I was just checking, you know, you never
you were
never
testing
know.
Us.
Maybe a new app. Yeah, so there's that saying that says, you know, trust is earned, you know. And then somebody says trust is given. I believe trust is built daily. You speak about how do we sustain trust. Well, if you want to sustain trust, we have to build it consistently, and it's got to be daily. And so we have to look at the aspects that brought us here, and we have to continue with that. You know, I trust somebody because of, you know, the journey that we've walked, the decisions we've made, the failures we faced. And so maybe the best way to say is trust is active, something that you have to work on daily. You have to work on it daily. And then maybe in this time we need to look at the speed of trust. So what can we do to trust faster? And it's not to microwave anything, but it's simply to, you know, put into cadence those elements that build trust. Where, you know, we sometimes took days and weeks and months in our building of relationship and, you know, working with people and trusting people. If we want to compete with the robots, we as humans need to start looking at the speed of trust or the scale of trust. And we would have to start scaling our trust a lot quicker, which means put our pride aside and, you know, put our ego in our pocket. And when I say start trusting people, it's start trusting them until they disprove you, and then we move on. And then we speak about it and say, listen, you know, I expected you to show up for me. You didn't. Sorry about that. You know, something happened with my family and I had to take care of my family. Okay, great. So they still trust because you didn't disappoint me. You didn't drop me. It was simply, I didn't know. I didn't have the perspective, you know, or I didn't have the information. Where I think, you know, that old thing of, you know, carrying offense with people for way too long, that's going to hinder us as the humans. We need to start becoming human, which means we make mistakes. There was such a beautiful, or let me rather say, an incredible moment during the Ryder Cup over this past week. Now, the Ryder Cup is a golf tournament that is played between Europe and the United States, for those that are not familiar with golf. And so the USA was losing like really bad. I think they were like 10.5 points down to 4.5 points on the final day. And so the tensions was heated. I mean, like the American fans were just shouting at the European fans, and there was such tension. And there was one moment where four players were getting into an argument, and the caddies got involved, and then some of the team captains got involved. And then this one guy, Ted Scott, he's the caddy for Scotty Scheffler. He actually went and he pointed to this one guy, Francesco Molinari, from the European team. And he was like poking him in the chest, if I'm not mistaken. And he was just letting go, you know, of like their opinion about it. And it's caught on camera. And I mean, it went viral, you know, because you have these people like almost hitting each other on a golf course. And the beautiful thing about this is the next day on social media, Ted Scott, you know, had his phone out, took a selfie video with Francesco Molinari, and he says, I want you to know that we are good. And I want you to know that I know this is a good guy, and I know that he's a humble guy. What happened yesterday was wrong. I apologize. We made a mistake. He said, before we even got to the next hole, all of us sorted our issues out. The world was still, you know, playing the viral clips about, you know, this incident where the individuals already moved on. And what was nice about this for me is how quickly, you know, Ted Scott acknowledged what he did was wrong, how quickly he responded. And then he said this, and I was like, wow, it's so true. because he's a Christian, and I mean, he lives out Christian values and he speaks about Christian values, and what he portrayed was maybe not in line with that. And he said, I'm a human, I'm going to make a mistake, but we move on and we grow. And when I saw that, I'm like, wow, you know, this is what we need, is we need people to almost act out more often so that we can, you know, be corrected and come back in line, instead of wanting to play it safe the whole time. And then we never show our real emotions. We never show our real self. The reason why we are good friends is because we are real with one another. You've seen me on my good days and you've seen me on my bad weeks, bad months. And that's the reason we're friends. It's because of those indifferences. It's because of those moments that it's like, eish, okay, is this who this person really is? Can I deal with it? Do I like it? Can I accept it? And we move on. And so, yeah, the scale of trust, I think, is going to be something.
That's beautiful. At the end of the day, it's about, do people trust you enough to follow you? And the question about trust, do you care about me? John Maxwell says it. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's exactly what you've just said, which is beautiful. I'd love us to quickly, real quick, jump to 2030. If you had to describe leaders of 2030 in one phrase, Dr. J, what would it be?
I almost want to use Pastor C's phrase. That's what I was going to say, is be there for real. I don't know if you realized how you said it, but be there for real. Like, if you're a leader in 2030, just be there for real. Like, the AI is going to take care of everything else. You as the leader, just be there for real.
Pastor C?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So I would definitely say, if I look at the political climate and what's happening in the world, I would say you're grounded in truth. There is so much, you know, fakeness that is going on. There's so much, you know, it's not even conspiracy theories. It's just like it's even like a hoax, you know. Just, I think the world has gone crazy in some instances. People believe that. So for me, 2030, we got to be grounded in truth. Absolutely.
Those are both excellent. For me, the future is anchored in purpose and definitely agile practice. The tools are going to change. It's not if, it's when. But clarity and humanity won't. One last question. What one practice can leaders start today to get ahead of the AI curve without leading, without losing their humanity? Pastor C?
I'd probably say this, that it's not a new problem we're facing. And I just want to quickly go back to what you said earlier about, you know, in Australia, people, like, they died of the bots. They want to speak to humans. How many of you ever gone to a restaurant and the waiter can't fix your problem because they're so tied into that, you know, this is what they should say? And we're like, can you just think for yourself? And so the problem is not new. You know, it is disengaged humans that's the problem. And so what is the habit that we can focus on? I'm probably going to say it's find out what does it mean to be human, and then be human, because nobody else has that privilege.
I love that. I heard somebody say the other day that we're living in a simulation, and that's what he believes. And I thought to myself, okay, I hear you, but then I'm going to play mine very well. So if you're living in, then I hope that you also play yours very well. And what we're going to need for the future is prayer. And not because I'm the spiritual person. I need the things that humans can bring that AI bots can't bring. And that's discernment, that's wisdom, that's prayer, that's godly insight. And that's what we're going to need.
That is absolutely excellent. When you said simulation, I thought Matrix. Like, he watched one too many Matrix movies. And I totally agree with you. I think for us as human beings, it's about being intentional and choosing where we will lean in and let AI do what it needs to do so that we can lean in with our personal gifts, just the spirit of who we are. Regardless of where you stand in AI, the bottom line is that AI is not going to replace leaders. It's revealing them. It's showing whether or not we lead with noise or with clarity, whether we lean on control or build with trust. My encouragement to you today is this. Let technology handle the tasks, but never outsource the touch. Pastor C, Dr. J, thank you both for bringing your wisdom today. And to our listeners and viewers, how are you balancing the tech and humanity in your leadership? Drop us a comment, share the episode with your team, and let's keep the conversation alive. Until next time, take care.